In the name of Jesus, amen. How do the faithful live in a world where evil seems to triumph so often and so easily? Doesn't our Almighty and Holy God hear our prayers? Can't our Lord Yahweh do something about our enemies? Even the psalmist sounds despondent. O Lord, how long shall the wicked, exult? How long, O Lord, indeed? Spoiler alert, the problem with our enemies is eerily similar to the problem with suffering from a few weeks ago. And the ultimate solution is the same. Even so, we are terribly short-sighted about both of these problems. We consistently think in terms of today or tomorrow or next week without considering the immensity of eternity and the mind of our God, the King of the universe. Do your enemies truly get away with it in the end, though? Sure seems like it, doesn't it? The problem is that evil and enemies so often seem to succeed over good Christian folk. One thing that is so hard for us to grasp in our American context is that suffering and the attacks of our enemies are the result of the faithful proclamation of God's word and the gospel. We've lied to ourselves for so long that we've convinced ourselves to think that God always blesses his children in this life. We believe the nonsense that God always helps those who help themselves, that God will certainly do good things for good people, and he will do those good things often. But it doesn't work out that way, does it? Good Christians suffer, sometimes horribly, and sometimes for long periods of time at the hands of their enemies. And it seems that Almighty God does not hear your prayers, that he's abandoned you to your pain, that he's abandoned you to these continuous attacks of your enemies. Simply being faithful to the Lord your God and to his word brings scorn and ridicule. The psalmist complains, O Lord, how long shall the wicked, exult? And you nod your head right along with him. Yeah, Lord, how long will they rejoice? But even that outcry from the psalmist is framed by trust. And it's seen in view of the saving acts that God works for his people. Almighty God even allows your enemies to rejoice over you so that he might induce you to lament. You heard that right. God allows you to lose sometimes so that you would realize from where your true help comes, from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You must realize that there is no power in yourselves to triumph. So you can only cry out to the Lord for help. And so you cry to him to hear your prayer, to remember his promises. And because our God and our Lord must act according to his promises, God your Father cannot break them. He cannot break his own covenant, so he cannot forsake his own. And so the psalmist reminds himself and you, for the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. When you are suffering at the hands of your enemies, when evil appears to triumph over you and yours, when all seems lost, remember the Lord your God. see things through the lens of his teaching and his word, through his person and his nature. And then and only then will you see the true end of all your enemies. For eternity is greater than time itself. Eternity swallows all of known history, all of the millennia of humanity in one tiny gulp. Oh, certainly. In the moment, the Christian doesn't see that. Your sinful nature keeps you focused on what's right in front of you right now. The need to win right now shouts down faith, and it shouts down trust in the Lord. Yet the faith given to you by God our Father is what triumphs in the end, isn't it? It is the gift of grace and salvation and a place prepared with the Lord that you trust in for ultimate peace. But God is so silent, isn't he? Never answers, does he? You shout into the void of his ear and you don't even hear an echo. God's seeming silence and inaction is why the psalmist complains. He says, "They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They kill the widow and the sojourner and murder the fatherless. And they say, 'The Lord does not see, the God of Jacob does not perceive.' See, God, they're not even worried about you. They're convinced you aren't even real, that you won't punish them, that you're unable to punish. Why do you let this happen, God? Why do they always win?" But they don't win, do they? It's helpful to revisit your small catechism here. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Deliver us from evil," or "Deliver us from the evil one." And Luther says in part that we pray that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul. And finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. God says to his people through Moses, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." It's also helpful to remember that Holy Scripture offers no comfort to the wicked. But who is this God who rains down vengeance upon evil? Where is he that he may be found? And that's the problem, isn't it? In your laments before the Lord, you want God's voice to thunder from the heavens, to terrify your enemies. You want God Almighty to smite them with a mighty smiting, to utterly destroy them right this very moment. But that's not the God we're given to see. That's not the God we're given to know, is it? When the psalmist complains, it isn't to the inscrutable, hidden God somewhere up there that one never sees, but rather to the covenantal God, the one God who can only and ever fulfill his promises. And where are those promises fulfilled? Where is that victory proclaimed and won? Where is the God who triumphs for you? Where is your champion? The search for all of these answers ends where the search for God ends. Lifted up upon the splintered wood of Golgotha, That blood-soaked cross upon which your champion, your Lord Christ, reveals his power and wisdom and glory in his broken body and his spilled blood poured out for you. There's no way of knowing why suffering strikes the innocent one, why the enemies of the gospel triumph over the faithful. But even in those, the Lord God has shown you decisively on the cross of Christ that he fights for you and not against you. Human experience says that God is always against you, or that he is always absent. Faith speaks the opposite, that God is with you, hidden in suffering. St. Paul says, he does not say to the Romans that if God is against us, who can be for us, but the opposite. If God is for us, who is there that can ever stand against us? How can evil ultimately triumph over you with God on your side? How can the gates of hell prevail against the church of God when her champion has destroyed death and the devil themselves? Even when faith is weak and dim and guttering like a dying candle flame, the faithful can trust the Lord their God in their sufferings and remain confident of God's favor. Because God, your Father, and your Lord Christ are found where reason least expects it. When your Lord and God seems most absent, that's when he's most present. And that's the thing that Sappy Footprints poem nails. That he bears us up in the darkest moments. Even though you are oppressed in this life, even though evil seems to win and triumph over you in this life is not all there is. So even though it seems to triumph, you are safe and you are secure in the Lord your God, not only in the present, not only now, but also eschatologically, here and into all of eternity. The crucified and dead Christ assures you that you have won the victory over evil and your enemies. So the problem with my enemies is solved in Christ crucified for you. For in his death and resurrection, they are destroyed and condemned to hell for all of eternity. And you, with all the faithful, with the multitudes upon multitudes, enter into his eternal courts with thanksgiving and praise and victory, clothed in the blood of the Lamb given for you. Amen.